The first reading today, we hear St. Peter exhorting the elders, the presbyters among the people to guide the flock, to guard them, to lead them. And yet we know that that doesn't always happen very well. Some of the saints remind us that we get the leadership that we deserve. You look at the vast majority of people who call themselves Catholic today, they really don't want to do a whole lot that's Catholic. And so we've gotten some of the leadership that we've deserved, that we have actually lived for. Now, for those who want to live the faith, obviously it makes it very difficult. But it also is what's going to make us saints. So then we have to ask ourselves, how do we deal with that? First of all, we pray. We keep our focus on the Lord. Secondly, we do what the saints tell us. And this is really, really difficult. Is obedience in all things but sin. Now the saints will tell us, and you can see this in St. Teresa, for instance. She'll tell the nuns, it's very easy to be obedient to a saint, because you know the holiness of the person. And even if the saint asks you to do something a little weird, like when St. Francis brought the postulants out to the garden and asked them all to dig a hole and gave them each a turnip and said, now I want you to plant the turnip with the green side down and the point sticking up. One of the young men said, anyone knows that that's not how you plant a turnip? And he said, this wasn't a test of your gardening skills, this was a test of your obedience. And he sent him home. So the saints might ask something a little odd, but you know that the saint always has a good intention. But it is very difficult to be obedient to someone who is anything but saintly, because we're not sure what their intention is. And we doubt and we question. But you know what? It doesn't require a whole lot of virtue to be obedient to someone who's a saint. It requires a ton of virtue to be obedient to someone who is not a saint. And so as we proceed forward, every one of us is going to have to look at that. So I keep pointing out, right now, you can turn on the computer and in 5 minutes you can find about 20 different opinions of how everybody ought to handle things. So how do we handle things? Keep your focus on Jesus. How did he handle it? There was some very unjust leadership, as I recall, and he was obedient. He's God, and he was obedient. And in fact, St. Paul goes so far as to say in his letter to the Philippians that he was obedient even unto death. He didn't run away. He didn't look at it and say, oh, no, 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 no. What you're doing is unjust, and I'm not going to have any part of this. He didn't say, I'll go and find a different way to do this. He submitted himself to the injustice. Now for us, again, it comes back to that point of obedience in all things but sin. This is what the saints teach us. That's what the example of our Lord shows us. So back a few years ago, I gave a homily that got me in all kinds of hot water. And it was about the fraud of COVID. And I told the people at that point, I said, be obedient if they're not asking you to do anything sinful, but at what point do you draw the line? I said, for me, the line is drawn when they want to stick a shot into you. I said, you know, you can say this is stupid. There is no science behind standing 6 feet apart. They knew in 1918 that masks didn't do anything with regard to viruses. What a bunch of frauds. We all knew that. But so what? So they're asking you to do something stupid that you know doesn't work. But when they're going to ask you to do something wrong, that's where you say no. So now I look at what's going on in the church. And I simply say, wait. Keep your focus on Jesus, pray, and wait for the apostasy. When that happens, you have to say no. I cannot be obedient to something that is sinful. So when is the apostasy? My opinion, I think it will be when they bring out a fake mass. That's where they're headed, I believe. They want to shut down the traditional mass so they can force everybody into the Novus Ordo, and the Novus Ordo is valid, but then they're going to make it invalid. And when they change the words of consecration and it becomes the abomination that causes desolation, at that point we must say, absolutely not. We cannot be obedient to something that is wrong. I might have to be obedient to something that I don't like, something that I might not agree with. Those of you who are parents, I think you probably know how that works. When you asked your kids to be obedient, they always agreed, right? They always thought you were asking for exactly what was the best for them, and they were right on it, right? No. So we have to then put into practice what we all taught our own kids. Doesn't matter if I agree with it. The question is it sinful? Doesn't matter if I like it. The question is it wrong? And if it's not sinful and I don't like it, I still have to be obedient. God will always bless obedience. God will never bless disobedience. So as we move forward, and this continues to reel out, we're all going to have to look at that. Every one of us is going to have to ask that question, where is the line? Where is the line at which I have to say no? For me, it's the point of apostasy. Let them leave. Don't leave yourself. And we were guaranteed in the gospel, the jaws of hell will not prevail against the church. So they're going to try. As I keep pointing out to people, if the jaws of hell were going to stay a mile away from the church, Jesus wouldn't have had to say that it wouldn't prevail. It's going to look like the jaws of hell have prevailed. That's why he had to tell us that. It's going to get that bad. We simply have to remain faithful. Now, you can run away. You can try to save your own skin. And then you're going to be just like those people that were at Calvary, but a ways away, and they were beating their breasts saying, oh, this is really sad. Or you can remain faithful. And you can be at the cross. You can be there with Jesus and Mary and St. John and St. Mary Magdalene. The choice is yours. As I like to put it, you can sit up in the cheap seats and you can be a fan and watch. Or you can be actually in the battle. You can be part of what's going on. Why would you want to sit in the cheap seats if you can actually be on the field? That's my way of looking at it. It's a whole lot more convenient sitting up in the cheap seats. You're not going to get bruised and you're not going to get beaten, but neither are you going to be the victor. You can say, my team down on the field won. Big deal. You didn't. But if you're one of the people on the field, you can say, we won. I was in that game. I was there. That's what we're being given an opportunity to do. So if you want to run far away, you can watch the game on TV. If you want to run a little ways away, you can watch the game from the cheap seats. If you want to be faithful to Jesus, you're going to be at the cross. you're going to be in the game. So that's what we all have to look at. We all have to make that choice. Every one of us is going to have to decide who we're going to listen to. And right now, there are hundreds of different opinions on how you ought to do things. Keep your focus on Jesus. Look how he did it. Because that's the model for all of us. That's not an easy way. It's not a fun and exciting way. It is the way to become a saint. It is the way to salvation. It's the way to eternal life. Isn't that what this is all about? So if that's what we're being given an opportunity to do, embrace it. Embrace the cross. And follow where our Lord is leading. Yes, we deserve the leadership that we've gotten, because as a people, we have decided to be totally disobedient to our Lord. We've said we don't need to believe this. We don't buy that. We don't accept this. I'm Catholic, but whatever. What a bunch of garbage. So if we're going to be Catholic, let's be Catholic all the way. Not just as long as it's convenient. Not just as long as it's not too bad. All the way. That means all the way up Calvary, to the cross, and even on it.